This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Fine dining. The search for the most mediocre restaurant in America is a podcast where Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. His most recent episode featured guests Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's food court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Head on over to linktree.com/fine dining podcast and click Bees giveaway to enter for an all-expense-paid trip to your local Applebee's. The current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. Asterisk $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee's gift card.
Welcome to a Funny Feeling Podcast. I'm Betsy Sodaro.
And I'm Marcy Jarro. This is a podcast where comedians tell us their paranormal experiences, and we listen to yours as well.
Oh, yeah. And if you have one of these paranormal experiences that you want to share with us, please email it to us at funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com.
Now get cozy.
And prepare yourself to be scared silly.
This is a Funny Feeling Podcast.
I hope you do it. I hope it's so loud.
I'm not going to fart. I won't.
You're going to fart, dude. You're going to fart. It's going to be not so loud.
I'll have to edit it out if I fart, man.
Everybody's going to be like, she's haunted, because there's going to just be a constant like, oh.
I mean, oh. I have said it before. I'll say it again. Sometimes my body sounds like a haunted house.
Dude. Seriously.
Just kind of like groans and creaks and women screaming.
Yeah, whenever I like go to sit, there's just a blood-curdling scream. It is weird like hearing your joints creak. Like you're walking through an old house. It's crazy.
And sometimes it'll just be like, are those chains rattling or is that like just bubbles gurgling in my stomach?
Just bubbles,
I'm sick, dude. I'm fucking sick.
Or like that, you know that thing when you open your mouth and something comes out of your throat, but it's not your voice.
It's your soul,
just,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just a little like, Have you ever, this happens to me when I'm driving, where all of a sudden it stinks bad and like poo-poo and stuff. And I'm like, did I just shit my pants? But then you're like, nah, I don't think I did. I feel I would have known. And then it's from the outside. You know, the stink is from the outside, but I'm always like, did I just lose it?
I don't want to alienate you.
Don't tell me that's never happened to you.
I guess I've never been confused about whether or not I've shit my pants.
Oh, wow.
I mean, at least not for like more than a moment, you know, like that. When you, there's certainly been some on the cusp moments
of
my life.
Of course.
But I think I would at least be like, oh no, I'm going to shit my pants.
There would be a build up.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
Never mind.
Yeah, what I said was just of
edit this
stupid,
out.
just a joke. It was just a joke. I've never felt that.
JK.
It's such a JK. Such a JK. Oh, no,
I yawn because it's so gloomy out here.
It's gloomy as heck, Marcy. I just want to lay in bed and read my book and watch Ghost Adventures.
Oh, yes. It is gloomy this way, I'd almost prefer it to be raining.
I'm with you.
Yeah, like sunshine or wetness.
That's all I want.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need that on a t-shirt. Sunshine or wetness. I'm with you there. It's like, because there's still a part where it's like, I should still go outside, but it's gloomy. Whereas when it's raining, it's like, yes, I'm staying in. I'm chilling.
Got a great excuse to never leave. Also, let's tell other t-shirt ideas. One that I was really proud of that I won't make, but I should.
Make it. Why not?
FYI.
Oh, my.
FYI, I'm fatter than ever. That's what I want my,
you
like.
You gotta make it. I'll buy one. I think it's so great.
Okay, maybe I'll guys, don't steal it.
Make it. I'll buy one for sure.
FYI, I'm fatter than ever.
Fatter than ever. I love it. I think that's so great.
Because, you know, we all feel self-conscious coming out of the pandemic because everyone's like, why are we? I know I do, at least. And I'm sure other people out there, same. So, like, when you go to your first, like, social events, I just like to let's just address it up front.
Maybe that's maybe there's a whole chain. Exactly. Like, FYI, I'm the fat. What is it? I'm the fattest.
I'm fatter than ever.
Fatter than ever. But then, yeah, FYI, I might not be able to talk to you.
Yeah. FYI, I don't make eye contact now.
Yeah. FYI, I have cried so much and I might cry today. FYI, I might just leave suddenly. But don't worry.
FYI, I'm talking fast because of anxiety.
Yeah. FYI, yes, my pants are filled with poop.
Okay. It's very niche market for that one.
I bet not as niche as you think.
Gosh, what do we do on this podcast? What do we do? Oh, we listen to and read stories.
I don't know anymore, man. Sometimes, yeah, we listen and we laugh and we get scared, and
some of us shit our pants,
poo poo in our pants.
It's very funny that, like, the tagline I thought was like silly, and then I realize it's just like a personal daily battle for you.
Yeah, I didn't even mean to say it in the context of this. I was just like, oh, please don't shit your pants, everybody.
It happens to me all the time.
It happens all the time. All the time.
Well, while we're taking our duty checks, shall we listen to a listener story?
I would love to.
Okay.
Hey, Betsy and Marcy, huge fans of your podcast. I am a professional singer and I drive to gigs constantly. And while I'm driving, I listen to your podcast and get properly spooked. So I wanted to share with you a story that didn't happen to me, but happened to my grandmother a couple of years ago. I've had some spooky stuff too, but this was especially spooky. So about 3 or 4 years ago, I don't remember the exact date, it was around Christmas time, and my grandmother, of course, I come from a large Catholic family on both sides, Italian Catholic on my mom's side, which is the grandmother I'm referring to. So she had, every year, like any good Italian grandmother, she always put candy out, no matter what time of year it was, but she had her special holiday bowl out with her Hershey Kisses that she had just purchased. So around this same time, maybe, you know, give or take a year or so, she had lost one of her neighbors. Her neighbor had died in her early 60s of cancer, and they were really, really close. So basically kind of like best friends, had been friends for years. And my grandmother had put this bowl out that her neighbor friend had given her for the holidays. And inside of it were these Hershey Kisses that she had bought. So she went to bed and then woke up the next morning to discover that the Hershey Kisses were gone, which was obviously incredibly upsetting to her, and immediately calls my aunt, my mom, whomever, to come over and basically check the house, because she lives alone still. She's now 87 years old. She's amazing. So, but anyhoosie, so they came over and searched and searched, and there was nothing. There was no evidence that anybody had come in, but there was absolute evidence that there was nothing left over in the candy bowl that she had just filled the night before. Now, My grandfather died in 1999, and my brother and I, especially my brother, who was really close to him, used to bring him candy to his room. He wasn't ever allowed to have it because he was sick, and the doctors said to avoid doing that. Or just not to, for specifically for kids to avoid doing it. You know what I mean, but he wasn't supposed to have candy. So anyway, he had died, and my grandmother used to say that she saw him at night, basically. She didn't want to freak us kids out, but we would overhear her talking to my mom, blah, blah, blah. They thought, oh, maybe you're just dreaming, this, that, the other. So she was always kind of very much in contact with that part of the spiritual realm, as kind of all of us are in my family. I think it's a growing up Catholic thing, as you guys have talked about on the podcast. You know what I mean? So it seemed like perhaps because it was the bowl that my grandmother's friends had just given her, well, had not just given her, but she had just passed and she had given her this bowl. And my grandfather loved candy and sneaking candy when he wasn't supposed to have it, that perhaps that they were up to something together, which was sort of comforting, but also very disturbing to those of us who knew that she lived alone and God forbid it was something else. But it happened two other times, and all that she ever found was one random candy wrapper. Never, the rest of them were totally gone, never to be seen again. She was monitored and was not getting up in the middle of the night to eat them. And there was never any explanation. There was no evidence at all. We each time went over and actively checked to make sure that there was nothing afoot with people potentially breaking into the home. And so basically we were left with just an incredibly spooky story that's never been explained. And besides that, 1 year never happened again. My grandmother had been thinking about them both a lot around that time, and it freaks us all out. Especially my brother, who is basically the biggest scaredy cat of us all, but who was also the closest to my grandfather, so kind of rightfully so. But yeah, so that's my story, and I think you guys are fantastic, and I can't thank you enough for having this podcast. Bye-bye.
Oh, I hope it's husband and friend,
yes,
having
yes.
a ball, dude.
Just eating all the kisses, all up. I love that.
I love it so much.
A haunted candy.
I also like the doctor being like, please do not eat candy. And then grandpa being like, go give me some candy. Go give me that candy.
I mean, if when I die, I can't eat as much candy as I want, I'll be so sad.
Right?
That's when I'm going to haunt people hard, when I can't get my candy.
Give me my candy.
Give me my candy.
When I was a little girl and we would say our prayers every night, speaking of Catholic, I would say, God bless Mama and God bless Daddy and God bless Amy and God bless Candy and God bless Jacob.
Oh, that's so cute.
Like, Candy was pretty high up on the list always.
Candy's very high up on the list. It's above your brother, dude.
Yeah, it was definitely like above grandparents for sure.
Oh, hell yeah. Candy's always above grandparents.
So just the idea, like, God bless Candy.
God bless Candy. Okay, Marcy. Oh, that is, I like that it's husband and best friend just being like, let's go.
Let's, maybe they're just like hanging out, chatting.
Yeah, just chatting and pounding Hershey's Kisses. Like, that sounds nice.
Yeah, just a little chat, a little chew. I agree, though. You want to make sure that it's not other things happening.
I was thinking, you just saying that got me chills. Like, ugh, what if it was just like a person coming in and just being like, I'm going to take the candy. That is so fucked up, dude.
Yeah.
that's so nasty.
Or like you have like someone living in the attic space. It crawls down.
Stop! Crawls down. Like,
and is like, I know I should be hiding, but God, I got a sweet tooth.
I just love me some Hershey Kisses.
Or just like in the walls, there's a bunch of dead rats from ODing on.
Yeah. Just ODing on chocolate and chocolate. Foil.
Once my friend Rebecca, you know Rebecca, yes. She had a Boston Terrier, two Boston Terriers when we were growing up. And one day Dexter ate a whole bowl of Hershey Kisses. And so she like called me and was like, yeah, we're worried about Dexter, but I think he's going to be okay. And so when I went over to her house later that evening, I was like, where is he at? And then she's like, oh, he's out back. And he was at the back door, which was like all glass. And he was jumping like 6 feet in the air, like,
so much sugar.
Luckily, it wasn't real chocolate, so it didn't kill him.
Right. Both of my dogs growing up, Bo and Dudley, we did not have them at the same time, ate so much chocolate. Like, ate one of who was it? Bo or Dudley? One of them ate my Easter basket. And then another one ate, like, a bag of Harry and David truffles. And we were just like, oh, no, but they were both totally fine.
You got to talk to those chocolatiers and say, what are you doing with this chocolate? Yeah. Why isn't it killing my dog?
Yeah, why isn't it getting our dogs, huh?
If this is real good shit, then why am I paying $15 an ounce for stuff that won't even kill
a
dog?
Kill a dog, right? Come on, make it the good shit.
This ain't pure cocoa.
Whoa, that was very cool. I like that one. That was nice.
Me too.
That was nice. Me too. You want me to read one?
Oh, please read me one.
Okay, here we go. We got one called Some Spooky Ghost Stories from My Job.
Ooh.
Hi, Betsy and Marcy. I'm such a huge fan.
Thank you.
I listen to the show mostly at work, so thank you for helping me pass the time on long night shifts. Anytime. You're welcome.
You got it.
You got it, dude. Speaking of work, most of my paranormal experiences come from my place of work, which makes it extra silly that I listen to a ghost story podcast so frequently while I'm there.
You gotta desensitize yourself. Absolutely.
So some backstory. I work in a lab of an old haunted hospital. Ew! I work night shift 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Wow. Oh,
it's a pretty small country hospital, so I'm the only staff member of the lab at night. And not only does that mean I have the whole lab to myself, but every other department in my wing is closed at night. So I'm the only person on my end of the hospital at all. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
As I said, the hospital is quite old. So as you can imagine, it's pretty haunted. One of our main ghosts, we believe, is a doctor that used to work there, Dr. Dickerson. What's so funny?
Dr. Dickerson is funny. It's you can't deny.
Name. It's a good doctor.
You can't
name.
Deny that Dr. Dickerson.
Dr. Dickerson. Quit
Dr.
laughing.
Dick Dixon. Dick Dixon. Sorry,
I'm
man.
Dr. Dickerson.
Dr. Dickerson doesn't appreciate this disrespect of the Dr. Dickerson.
Oh no, he passed away in a car accident while driving into work on call one night. Oh.
Well, fuck.
Marcy, we're assholes.
Well, you should have seen it and told me to stop.
I can't read ahead. Are you kidding me?
Okay, maybe this was long ago. Let's keep going. Sorry.
Okay, here we go. This was long before I worked there.
Okay,
Phew.
Oh my God, I still feel bad. But,
yes, of course.
It wasn't about Dr. Dickerson. Right. It was about all the D's.
Right. Okay, Shit. This was long before I worked there, but it's been believed by everybody since then that he still roams the halls. He's a bit of a prankster. So if a cabinet opens and things start to fall out, that's not a prank. That's just rude.
That's just hospital waste.
Or if things go missing or get moved around, you know it's just Dr. Dickerson messing with you. On more than one occasion, he has locked me out of the lab and I had to rummage around the ER looking for a spare key. Dick move. Yeah, Dr. Dickerson, big time dick move. But most of the time, if you say, Dr. Dickerson, I'm busy, leave me alone, it'll stop for the rest of the night. Whoa.
That's good.
We also have a ghost nurse on the inpatient floor, but nobody knows who it is. Ghost nurse is so scary.
I just imagine, like, you see a faint outline of a nurse's uniform and then a skeleton face.
Oh, Marcy, that's fucking fucked up. How dare you think that way?
Honestly, it's worse than laughing about Dr. Dickerson. It is. I guess.
It is. Ooh. On quiet nights, if you look down the patient hallway, sometimes you'll catch glimpses of her walking back and forth between patient rooms. Just making her rounds, I guess. Ugh. Ooh, listen to this. This is real nasty. There's a rocking.
Oh, now you're reading ahead?
Yeah, I learned my lesson. There's a rocking chair in the nursery that sometimes rocks by itself. I haven't seen this for myself, but I've heard it from many people. I wonder if it's the same nurse from the floor trying to rock the babies?
I mean, how crazy would it be if you just saw a baby floating in the middle of a chair?
I can't do that, man. I can't do that.
Well, it's happening. You have to deal with it.
Oh, no. I would.
It's just happening, Betsy. You don't get to decide.
I would run and kick that rocking chair.
No.
But catch the baby. Catch the baby. I'm always got to catch the baby at the bathwater.
Very coordinated.
Okay. Oh, my God. Excuse me. That was so gross. There's also a room that when there's no patient staying in it, the call light will go off and there will just be breathing sounds on the other end. The door to that room opens and closes by itself sometimes. Luckily for me, I rarely ever have to go in that room. You can't put a patient in there. Right?
Oh, I thought you were reading.
Oh, no, that's me. Right?
No.
If it's like a known haunted room, you can't put a patient in there. That's mean.
Well, what if you have a patient that's like really rude?
Oh, then absolutely.
We're going to actually move you to a bigger room. You're going to love it.
Wink, oh, wink, fuck wink. Off. Fuck you. Oh. My heart hurts.
You're going to love this new room, Shut Dr. up. Dickerson's grandson.
Yeah, it's me, Don Dickerson.
But, I mean, I think in a hospital, though.
Every room is haunted.
Yeah, I don't want to get ahead of us, but it's going to be hard to avoid eventually.
Shit, man. You're right. You're right. Oh, my God. Every room is haunted. Oh my God, I've stayed in many haunted hospital rooms. Fuck, man.
Wait, do you go to the hospital often?
All the time.
No, this is for fun?
Yeah, for a little vacation.
Welcome to the most expensive hotel room you'll ever stay in.
I love paying $40,000 a night to stay somewhere. It's really
and
cool.
Honestly, if you itemize it, all of it makes perfect sense in the budget.
Oh, man, getting a compression sock for like $850? Awesome.
Makes sense to me.
Having to pay a lady to come show you how to use crutches, even though this is the second surgery on your ankle, so you already know how to use crutches, costing like $2,500. Awesome, dude.
Now, I don't know if this is true, and I'm just interrupting this email. But on TikTok, I've heard if you ask for an itemized bill, all of a sudden it gets lower.
Oh, that's good to know.
But I think a lot of them would just shamelessly be like, yeah, Band-Aid costs $50.
Yeah, you're
fuck
in
off.
The hospital. That's just how it goes. Oof. Okay, there's a bathroom in the lab. Uh-oh. Okay, there's a bathroom in the lab that always produces strange sounds. Yeah. Me too. Yeah,
I was working in a lab and I heard diarrhea.
Were you starting to sing Monster Mash?
Yes, I was working in the lab
late one night and I heard diarrhea from out of sight.
A very stinky smell started floating in the air and I knew Betsy Sodero had to be here.
She took a dump. She took a monster dump. It was a graveyard slump.
Don't need to change the part. It's perfect as is.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. Okay. So a bathroom that produces strange sounds. Ooh. Even when I'm completely alone. Oh, I can always hear talking and doors opening while I'm in there. Ew. Ew. The most common is I hear the door to the lab open and I hear a female voice saying, hello. There's never a door closing sound, and there's never anyone in there when I get out of the restroom. Ew! Whoa. No matter how quickly I run out and try to catch them, it's always the same voice. Oh, and I don't recognize it as anyone on night shift.
How fast are they running out of the bathroom?
Pants down.
Drippy drawers.
Droopy drawers. A friend of mine from the radiology department that hangs out in the lab sometimes always claims that she's in this particular bathroom. Always claims when she's in this particular bathroom, she hears my voice talking outside the door. But I'm never there talking. I'm not even in the lab at all sometimes when she hears it. What? I don't think any of the ghosts mean harm, but it does concern me a little that they mimic my voice. Yeah.
That's
Creeper City, dude.
Creeper City.
There's also a sort of shadow man, but he's a different kind of entity, I think.
I don't know why.
Yeah, big old ew. I'm not sure why, but he just feels different than the other ones. Not like malicious or anything, just like he's more aware and more a part of this realm.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a spooky way to describe it.
That he's more aware is like scary.
Very scary. Yeah, because if it's like, oh, they have no clue, they're just kind of in a loop.
Yeah, the residualness.
Fine,
yeah.
But being aware, I rarely get to look at him straight on, but he's all dark, man-shaped, and seems to have a hat on.
Classic.
The majority of the time that he is seen, it's him walking into a room or rounding a corner, instances where you just catch the end of him. I've also seen flashes of him standing behind me in my reflection. And a few times I'll see his hands grip the side of the doorway to the office and his head start to peek around like he's spying on me or something.
That's fucked up because whenever I'm trying to look around a door, I never let my fingers like go one by one across the door frame.
I can feel him standing and walking behind me a lot. It's like he wants us to know he's there, but not actually see him. That's fucked up, man. Don't do that.
No.
A few months after I started seeing him, I hadn't told anyone yet. I noticed that friend of mine that works in radiology looking around the corner suspiciously in the lab, like she couldn't figure out what she was looking at. I asked her if she was seeing the shadow man too. She agreed with every detail of my description.
Yikes.
Shortly after that, a girl that works on day shift who had been working alone all weekend came to me at shift change and asked if I ever saw anything weird at night. Not wanting to lead the witness, I asked her to explain before I gave my answer. She described the shadow man in exact detail, down to the way he avoids being seen directly, specific locations I always see him in, and she started seeing him at the same time as me. This is a girl who had worked here for over 10 years at this point.
Oh, no.
And had never seen him before.
That's upsetting.
That is weird. After that, they decided he was my shadow man, somehow linked to me because he didn't show up here until I did. don't pin that on someone.
I have so many chills.
IDK where he came from or what I have to do with anything, but I really do think he might be attached to me. He doesn't scare me. I just want to know what he wants from me. Oh, okay. Ready? I have one last story I would like to tell you if I have time. Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Was an isolated incident, but it really stuck with me. On the inpatient floor, we had an elderly patient in acute care that had been unresponsive for a few days. This wasn't terribly unusual for this man because he was quite old and pretty sick. He was in a monitor bed right behind the nurse's station. I went into his room one morning to draw his blood, and the nurse aide was already in there checking his vitals. When I walked in, she snapped her head up and shouted at me to get out. She had terror in her eyes. I ran out of the room in shock. She followed me out of the room, and I questioned her about why the fuck she yelled at me like that. She then told me this story. About 30 minutes prior to me coming to stick this patient, she saw this patient. That's like nurse talk, dude. I gotta go stick this patient, dude. About 30 minutes prior to me coming to stick this patient, she saw a dark figure walk into that room. The figure moved really fast, but she thought it was just me going in for my morning rounds. She knew I had labs on him, and I always wear all black scrubs, so it wasn't too much of a stretch. She noticed the light wasn't on, but that still didn't strike her as odd because I often leave the lights off if there's enough light from the hallway coming in. She then heard his monitor going off, and she ran in there to see why. This man that had been unresponsive for days was suddenly wide-eyed and staring at the corner of the room. His heart rate was elevated. That's what made the alarm go off. She then noticed I wasn't in the room like she thought I was. Nobody was in the room, and there was nothing in the spot he was staring at. That's when she realized that whatever had run into the room before was not a human person at all. When I came around, they had just got him settled back down, and so that's why when I, a dark figure, walked into the room, she flipped out. We speculated on what had happened after we had time to calm down about it. Our initial thought was that death was coming for him, and that's when she saw dart into his room. But he made an almost miraculous recovery, and within days was totally back to normal and alert and was able to go home. So we still don't know what went in there or what happened, but it must have been something good. Maybe it was Dr. Dickerson curing his patient.
Big difference.
big difference one S can make. Curing his patient. Maybe it was some sort of guardian angel. Who knows? But it was spooky either way. Thanks for reading my stories. Hopefully they weren't too long and rambling. Conciseness isn't my strong suit. Love you guys and the pod. Wow.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Spooky, dude. Whoa. Do you think that was a positive entity? Or
I mean, I think there's just, you know, the cliche of the dark, scary spirit, but I guess it could be not scary. Or maybe it was death coming for him and he was like, no, dude, fuck off.
I'm fine. I was just pretending.
He was like, all right, but if you don't get up soon.
Yeah, I'm fine. Okay, I'm ready. I'm okay. Jeez, death.
Yeah, death was just coming to motivate him.
Yes. Yeah.
Get off your butt.
Come on.
Life is for the living, and if you ain't gonna do it, I won't take your life.
Oh, thank you, man. Wow. Hospitals, dude.
The attached shadow man is that's very disturbing to me for some reason.
Oh, I know. And to be like, yeah, I think they might be attached to me. No.
Is that how we're doing things? No.
This shadow man was never here before you got here. So you're
lying.
You brought shadow man here.
You're lying. You're a liar.
You're a liar, dude.
You're a fucking liar, Betsy.
Don't call me that.
It's about the two of us, and I'm furious now.
Marcy's so mad at me, everyone. Like, you wouldn't believe how mad she is.
My hands are bleeding from me digging my nails into the palm.
She's so mad. She's so mad at me. Isn't that really good?
That was so good. It was so good. I'm never going to do it again because I can't top it. She's so mad. She's mad
above me. She's so mad. I'm losing my mind.
I know. Today I feel especially wonka doodle.
Big time wonka doodle.
I was going to say something else about hospitals being, I don't know. I hear so many fucked up stories about hospitals that I guess it all makes sense. There's a lot of electricity. There's a lot of emotion. Yeah. There's a lot of death. There's a lot of like
life, just like, yeah,
coming and going.
Yeah. It's, they're intense places. So it is.
How
like,
is
of course.
Every hospital not a vortex or a portal?
Dude, it might be. Every single hospital might be a portal, dude. Right?
Dude.
Because it's just opening up.
Yeah.
Come and go.
Okay. I'm going to read another one.
Okay.
Is that cool?
Yeah, man. Of course.
This one is called Quarantine Story Black Cats.
Whoa. Okay.
Is this because you know how many black cats I got?
Maybe.
All right, let's see. Hi, Betsy and Marcy. I consider myself more of a, quote, paranormal ally, end quote, in that I have no experiences or interest in having any, but I love hearing you guys tell the experiences of others. While being home during the quarantine, I did have something happen. My partner is away taking care of his dad, who's doing okay.
Oh, good.
And so it's just me at home with our two little black cats. One cat is a little sweet chunky monkey and the most relaxed cat alive. His brother is also sweet and cuddly, but a bit of a fraidy cat who will hide behind the bed if a car is too loud outside.
Oh, I get it, cat. If a car is loud, I'm behind my bed in a heartbeat.
I gotta be taking a nap behind my bed. There's also an outside black cat who looks like their big brother in our neighborhood. The outside cat is a little skittish, but sometimes comes up to our door. They all stare and boop the glass and then go about their cat business, but he's always been nice. One night around sunset, outside cat shows up at the door and is riled up.
Woo!
He is showing non-threatening cat behavior, but is clearly upset. He keeps making this low, long, mournful sound that is unsettling.
Ugh.
Both of our cats get riled up too and start pacing around. He hangs out making the sound for a little bit and then takes off and runs to his house across the street.
Ooh.
It takes a while for me to get our cats to relax, but the whole evening there's an energy of tension and we're all very restless. I start getting ready to head to bed and both cats run upstairs to the bedroom. I get halfway to the stairs and then suddenly there's a child's cry. We've all heard kids cry before, but this sounded wrong.
Oh.
I'm staring at the top of the stairs where it sounds like it's coming from and there's nothing there.
Oh, no.
It was sharp and forceful. I could feel it in my bones and my chest like a deep bass sound.
Ooh.
But it was quiet, too. I look to the bedroom door and both cats are standing there all bristled up with their tails This is lashing. I've never heard of tails lashing. Oh, back and forth.
Flashing.
My cats get puffy. They like poof out.
Whoa.
When they get scared. Yeah. Or when they're playing. When they want to pretend like they're scared and playing with each other.
Yeah, they poof.
Poof.
When I get scared, my hair poofs out. Oh, no.
My body does it. I'm scared all the time.
Yeah, I'm pretty scared. You have my stomach area.
Yeah, my stomach's scared.
Always so scared.
There's a brief second where I tell myself I definitely didn't just hear that when my little scaredy cat steps into the hallway, opens his mouth and hisses and snarls like I've never heard before.
Oh, no.
And just as quickly as it started, it's gone. I feel way less tense. And by the time I get to the bedroom, my cats are already shaking it off and their fur is going back to normal. And they hopped on the bed and we're just back to relaxed cat time. We lived here for a few years, and I've never had any weird experiences, so I didn't know if someone in the neighborhood was quarantine cleaning and knocked something loose or what, but I like to think the neighborhood cat came to warn his buddies, and my little Freddy cat and his brother scared the fuck out of whatever was trying to hang out.
Whoa.
I've heard you guys tell people to set boundaries and firmly tell spirits things before, so maybe this was just the black cat version of you are not welcome here.
Yeah, meow.
Meow, cats. Sassy cat. there's been nothing weird since, but they do get extra treats before bedtime in case they need to tell anything else to fuck right off.
Hell yes.
Tonight. Or fuck off overnight. My sister has always said the black cats are mystical, and maybe she's right. Marcy, we were all so sad to hear about Bo's passing, as these little bastards are so wonderful. Oh. Maybe someday another black cat will cross your path.
How about three? How about three?
Okay, one's tortoiseshell.
Okay, my bad, my bad. How about two?
Our brave hero and his sleepy brother. They attached a picture. Let me.
I want to
send
see
it
that.
To you. It's I love black cats so much. I think they're so magical and special.
Yeah.
Look at these cats. Aren't cats. They so sweet? I think
did you text
black
or,
cats,
or email?
I just texted it to you, okay, but it just went through.
Here it is.
Black cats are great because they both look scary and just like, I don't know. There's like a something about them. You can project so many feelings onto.
Right. Because it is like kind of scary, but also, oh, you're chill. But also yeah. Like, it looks like you're just like. It looks like you know everything about me.
Yeah.
Like the look you're giving me is just like, you know everything.
You got it all in your little noggin. It's very funny because Buster has the complete opposite look about him.
Yeah.
He always looks confused.
Oh, cute.
He's always like, what?
No.
What?
Huh?
What's happening?
What? His tail is always a question mark.
What?
Huh? What? Yeah.
Confused boy. Now, the other night, they all three started growling about something, and I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, no. Were they all looking at a specific place, or?
It's funny, because they just, like, jump up and run to the window, okay. So I think they can hear an animal
probably.
Outside. But it's crazy what these things can sense.
It's wild. It's,
like, they're so much more sensitive than humans are able to even perceive the stuff that they're picking up on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, like, I don't know, like, there's specific things, too. I've noticed, like, with Wilma and stuff, like, very specific things where it's like, oh, that gets you,
yeah.
But that doesn't. Like, all of, like, whenever we're starting, like, Hulu or Netflix or something, she is just, it blows her mind. She just stares at it and is just like hops up and is just like, what the fuck is this? What the fuck is this? Like, what is this? But then like people will be screaming and she's just kind of like, no, 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 no.
Well, because she knows you people, but she's like, what is this window?
Maybe.
I thought that was a flat wall.
Right. That's very true.
It's a whole other world.
Wow.
Yeah, that's very scary to hear just like, child cry
is,
and then your cats freak out.
That is horrific. That is so nasty. I thought for a moment, I was like, was it one of the cats? Because
yeah,
animals can sound like humans and it's nutty.
I mean, mountain lions sound like women screaming.
Yeah. I'll say Wilma did a couple of times where it sounded like she was in like a melodrama tied to train tracks, just being like, whoa, whoa. We're like, I didn't know a dog could sound like that. Shit, man.
I found a TikTok. I'm so obsessed with TikTok, guys. I apologize. I sound like a grandmother. But I saw one last night that was very good. It was this like not fenced in, but there was like a wall around like a courtyard slash not patio, but like the front of someone's house.
Okay.
And it was like not a tall wall, but a wall.
Yes.
And there's a gate in front of it, a little wrought iron gate. And these dogs who look normal size, like they look like average sized dogs. Yeah. And then you see them like barking at the gate. And then you see like something like run up to the gate and like kind of like hit the gate.
Oh, God.
And so both dogs are like, bah, 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 bah. And then all of a sudden in the video, you see whatever it was at the gate comes around the side and it's a fucking mountain lion and it jumps right over the wall.
No.
And goes for the dogs. And then you hear a woman's voice when the mountain lion hops over the wall. She goes, no. And then she runs at this mountain lion and she's wearing a full length fur coat.
Oh, my God. A mountain lion screaming, fur coat.
Yes. The mountain lion's like, mommy, that's my mother.
Sorry, mommy. Whoa.
And she runs faster than the mountain. Like she like. As soon as the mountain lion's on her dog, she's on the mountain lion.
Whoa.
And then it just like kind of like, ugh, and then jumps back over the wall and runs away.
Holy shit. Holy shit.
I don't even think the dog got like bit. Yeah. Like, I don't think
there wasn't
anything.
Even a chance. Oh.
Yeah. It was nuts because it's.
Dude, that is wild.
The mountain lion was like, what the fuck?
My bad. I'm sorry.
Honestly, I bet because it was coming from the other direction, the mountain lion didn't attack because it was like, oh no, more danger.
Right. Right. Of course.
Also, she killed my mommy.
Also, she married my mom. Whoa.
Yeah. Those little dogs. Well, then you realize the dogs are tiny because she picks them up.
Oh, you're like, yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Big wall, tiny dogs.
Big wall.
All right.
And then I started looking up. I was like, do mountain lions eat cats? Yeah, they do, bruh.
I'm sure they're like kind of anything and everything if they need it, you know?
Yeah. It's like when you see a pigeon eating chicken bones.
Oh, dude, that is an awful, awful thing to see.
You're like, no, dude, don't.
Stop, don't eat different garbage, you filthy bird.
Well, either way, Gordon, these cats are beautiful.
They're great, and they're protecting you.
I hope they keep you safe.
Safe and see meowned. That worked, right? That worked.
It did. It was one of the better ones you've done.
Woo! Roasted. Okay.
I gotcha. Oh my god.
Hi, everybody. Shit.
I'm not nice.
Marcy is mean to me. Oh.
I punch her when I see her in person.
Yes, yes.
Did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they have forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about, I don't know, like 5 different subscriptions. I could not believe when they showed me how many I was paying for each month. And they tell me when something's coming up too. What a shocker. Between streaming services, fitness apps, and delivery services, it's never ending. And thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I've forgotten about. And, you know, I've been trying to save money. And it seems like my bank account, it was stuck. So I gave Rocket Money a try, and it turns out that I was paying for a bunch of stuff that I didn't need. And Rocket Money helped me cancel some of those. And now I'm finally starting to see my account balance going up again. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of expenses. I can see all my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. That's rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years now. I go every single week. I don't even ever want to miss a week because it's so important for keeping me on track, especially during times where things are kind of tough, you know? It's really good to have a therapist you trust as a sounding board. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/afunnyfeeling today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, help.com/afunnyfeeling.
Now, should we listen to another listener story?
Yes, I think we should. We should, yeah.
All right. Let's listen to.
Okay, what's this other story?
So the other story, I was visiting my sister Debbie in Candia, and I was there.
New Hampshire.
Candia, New Hampshire. And this was in their first house, a log cabin, and I was sleeping in Matthew's room for some reason, and the bed was right under a skylight. And my sister Candia is near Manchester, New Hampshire, but in the country where they lived, they had 3 acres of property. Anyway, you know, I stayed there more than one night. I don't know if it was two or three, but I was feeling uneasy there sleeping at night. Nothing, you know, in the environment really contributed to my unease, but I just had this very weird sense that there were aliens around. And, you know, it was kind of embarrassing because it was, you know, related to nothing, and I didn't want to, like, make a big deal about it. But after the second night of having weird, you know, inability to sleep, I'm with my sister, she's driving, and we're on the highway. I don't know where we were headed, but we were a fair distance from the house. And I just thought I would share with her, you know, my, you know, anxiety of the last couple of nights. And I said, Debbie, I gotta tell you, I've been kind of afraid of, like, aliens sleeping in Matthew's room the last couple of nights. And she says to me, I saw a spaceship right there and pointed to the side of the highway that we were on. And I just like that. As soon as I told her that, she said, oh, yeah, I saw a spaceship. Not just my car. A bunch of us, our cars were like pulled over because this weird, you know, spaceship type thing was in, you know, the sky. I'm like, oh, great. Now I'm really worried.
Yeah. It's weird that you would have the feeling to tell her about it and then immediately be sort of validated, yeah, in what would otherwise seem just like totally crazy and,
oh,
random.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In the next breath, she, yeah, just said, oh, yeah, I saw a spaceship right there.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Dude.
Now, I believe that's the listener who told us about the buildings that wiggled and, yes, did acrobats. Yes.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yes, I think that's wow. The same listener. Oh man,
that is wild. Like getting just a feeling of like, I think aliens are around or something. Oh, that is so. Yeah. And then to be like, oh yeah, I saw a spaceship right there.
Interesting that you should say that, because aliens are around.
I feel I would tell everybody, actually, I don't know. I was going to say, like, if I saw a spaceship, I'd be like, that's where I saw a fucking spaceship. But now it's like, oh, yeah, maybe not.
Maybe you wouldn't, though.
Maybe I maybe wouldn't, you wouldn't, though.
Because maybe I wouldn't. Because people don't always believe that.
Right,
but,
right.
But I do think it's so interesting to, like, pick up on it, though.
Yes. That, like, there's something to that of, like, and having it specifically be aliens, not like ghosts or, you know, yeah, something like that, but being like, no, aliens.
Because I was going to say that, like, maybe if you're like a medium or have like an intuition that you would feel, you know, oh, there's, you know, spirits here, but to feel that an alien is there.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah, that's a whole, I've never heard of that sort of thing.
Me neither.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like having that then impulse to share that, you know, just being like, hey, I gotta say, I think they're aliens. You know, that's so interesting. Dude, New Hampshire.
Was that Connecticut or New Hampshire?
New Hampshire.
Okay. I don't know any of those towns. That's not where I'm from. That's not my neck of the woods.
I don't know any of those towns real good. Like, I don't know the town of New York, the town of Pennsylvania,
the village of Maine. I don't know those areas.
I don't know that. Sheesh. Come on. The
Commonwealth of Jersey.
Whoa, dude.
Are you impressed by how smart I am?
You're real smart, dude.
Hey, I'm a smart feller, and you're a fart smeller.
Oh, my God. Did you just think of that, or is that something people say?
Betsy, it's a very common phrase. What? Everyone knows.
Why have I not heard it? You're a real smart feller.
You're a real fart smeller.
And you're a real fart. I'm a real smart feller, and you're a real fart smeller.
No, maybe I'm the I'm not the first, but I think you're the first one ever to say that. You know what? I'm taking credit. Fuck it all. I don't have anything else going on in my life.
Take it. I mean, that's a shirt.
That's a shirt. What?
That I'm a smart feller. You're a fart smeller. That's a shirt. Yes. Put that on a shirt.
What if it's just like two fingers pointing in opposite directions and one says smart feller and the other one says smart a fart smeller?
That's good. And then you're just like, everybody I'm between.
My t-shirt business is booming.
I'm with fart smeller.
And I'm with smart feller.
I got one. You want me to read it?
Please.
The Cavalier Hotel sledding ghost.
Ooh.
A sledding ghost. That's fun, dude.
Also, what do we think? Is the hotel going to be named Cavalier? Or is it going to be a very Cavalier acting?
Ooh, let's find out. Let's find
Devil out. Devil May Care Hotel.
Hi, y'all. I grew up in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I was like, VA. Oh, yeah. Virginia. In the 90s. Whenever it snowed, the thing to do was to go sledding on the hills of the Cavalier Hotel, which I will send you a link to because it's super spooky and I think you'll like it a lot. Okay. So it's called the Cavalier.
Well, we're not sure.
We're still not sure. This year, my neighborhood had an influx of kids because of all the workers who moved to town due to the construction of the second Chesapeake Bay Bridge, which also helps me date this around 97, 98. When we got our first good snowstorm of the year, all the kids, age ranges from 7 to 17, loaded up in someone's Suburban and headed off to the Cavalier Hotel with our sleds. God, I love sledding so much.
How are they sledding at the beach?
Well, I guess it like gets cold enough to snow.
At that beach? I don't know about those towns over there, like I said.
I mean, it snows in like New York beaches and stuff, right?
Oh, I guess it does. I've never thought of it before.
I don't know, man.
Hey,
I went to Virginia Beach one time. It was fine. It was cool. It was fine. During spring, or I can't remember when it was, but it was really rainy and cold and gray. So it was fine. You know,
it was perfect.
It was my favorite way to go to the beach. Just cold as hell and getting slammed with rain. Woo! We could usually get a few good sleds in before the hotel kicked us out. Hell yeah. I was about 7 and my brother is with me, who is around 15, and he always helps me carry my sled back up the big hill because it was a bit too heavy for me. That's so nice.
That's a good brother.
A few sleds in, I get to the bottom of the hill and I realize that my brother wasn't behind me as he normally would be. I look for him and eventually spot him still at the top of the hill. Annoyed, I grab my sled and start to climb up to see why he didn't sled with me. I get to the top of the hill and he's staring off toward the trees, and I'm yelling his name and probably cussing about having to carry my own sled. He doesn't respond at first, but eventually snaps out of it and we resume sledding. I didn't think much of this, but also never forgot about it. Ooh. Oh, oh, boom. Jump to my brother's 22nd birthday in maybe 2004, and we're at the bar with our mom and his two best friends, and they start telling ghost stories. It's the usual stories I've heard a million times. We're Catholic, so y'all get it. But then my brother starts talking about sledding at the Cavalier. As soon as he says it, I know exactly the moment he's going to talk about, and I started crying because I knew something weird had happened that day. He goes on to tell that he saw an older white man in a brown suit and brown hat standing near the trees next to the hill. This caught my brother's eye, and then he watched the man fade into the background until he was gone. He continued to stare at the area until I had gotten his attention, but didn't say anything as to not scare me at the time. What a nice big brother, carrying your sled, not telling you about a nasty ghost hanging out in the woods watching you sled. Shit. Years later.
Shit,
man. Years later, maybe 2016, my bro and I were on the phone chatting and we're on the phone chatting, and the Cavalier Hotel comes up, as does the old man. I asked if he's ever looked it up to see if the Cavalier was haunted, and neither of us had ever looked into it. I Googled it while on the phone and read that, yep, it's super haunted, including an old man in a suit that shows up throughout the hotel. In trying to find that to share with you, I found that people speculate that the man is the ghost of Adolf Coors, founder of Coors Beer, who died by suicide at the hotel in 1929. Whoa. Here's the link to the hotel. Also, please don't judge me. I also see now how small those hills look, but they were massive to me as a kiddo. I bet they were huge and perfect as a kid. And here is something specifically on its spookiness. Oh, spookiness. Also, real quick, y'all had another listener story. You all had another listener write in about the Virginia Beach oceanfront. It's a very spooky area. They were having some experiences at the putt-putt golf they worked at. I think putt-putt golf may have been where I used to be. I'm sorry, so sorry. I think that putt-putt course may be where there used to be one of many year-round haunted fun houses where back when I was growing up, it ruled. The one I'm thinking of was called the Haunted Fun House at 25th and Atlantic, and it was a great place to get scared and also was a venue for punk shows. Cool.
Yeah.
Few fun things. Before that, I've heard it was a small movie theater. Whatever it is, it's the VB Oceanfront, so it's bound to have some weird, creepy energy. Thanks for the amazing podcast and the laughs. Y'all are truly some treasures. Bad boy Bo forever. XOXO Mara.
Aww.
Wow. I want to look at this Cavalier Hotel. Let's see. That's spooky, dude. Oh, those are pretty perfect sledding hills, though. They're not too small.
When I was a kid, we would go roll down the hills at the state capitol in Louisiana, and I thought those were huge, and they're not.
Isn't that wild? Yeah.
Because if they were really steep, would we roll down them? Would our teachers be like, yeah, go roll down those hills?
Not at all, dude.
Okay, so I did a quick Google of Adolphus Coors.
Oh, yeah.
And the first thing I find is that there's an article from crimecapsule.com and it's titled Who Killed Beer Magnate Adolph Coors?
So it's like they say suicide, but alleged suicide, dude.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's very funny too, because in this article they have like hotel pictures and it looks like old timey, but it's from 2018 because the facade as we're seeing it, like, that's why I got confused, because there's one that looks like just like a beach hotel.
Right, yeah.
And then now this is like a big grand one.
Whoa.
Let's see. A grisly discovery that the hotel staff found June 5th, 1929, only a few weeks after the resort Coors recuperation, which was mysteriously cut short. Oh, I wonder what it is.
Right, that is so... Ooh.
Coors.
Spooky. Coors.
Wise.
Remember that Simpsons joke where it's like the three frogs going Bud Wiser, and then a crocodile comes up and eats them. Coors.
Coors. That's a Simpsons really knew what they Simpsons. Were doing.
Oh, so good. So good. Wow. That's so spooky. Huh. Oh man. How weird to see somebody in a suit just watching you sled.
No.
Nuh-uh.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. Let me sled.
Scram.
We used to go to the ski resorts at night and steal the mats off of the poles and go sledding down the hills.
That's fun.
It was really fun. And one night, all the snow cats started like chasing us. It was
what's
really
a snow cat?
They like do the grooming, essentially like plows, but like they have those like hardcore snow wheels and stuff. Like in The Shining, the thing that could have helped them get out, but he destroyed it, you know?
Spoiler.
Oh, God. Shoot. Marcy, I'm telling you, you got it.
I'm waiting.
The Shining. And then, what are you waiting for?
I don't know, but when it makes sense, it'll happen.
Fair enough.
So the snow cats were chasing you, though? Like, we're going to get those kids?
Yeah, it felt more fun than, like, scary, but we were having a blast of, like, sledding, oh, go run in the hills. And, like, they, like, came, they all, or, like, they came down, and there were, like, multiple snow cats, like, looking.
I think
us?
They were going to kidnap you guys
you
and
think
murder
they were gonna...
you.
Oh, shit.
Come
oh,
on.
No,
everybody knows.
Marcy.
Everybody knows that's what snowplowers are up to.
Scary. Shit.
Let's see. I got one.
Yep.
This one's called A Ghost Haunted My Pregnancy.
Whoa.
Are we ready?
I'm ready.
Hey, spooky gals. It's me, your friendly neighborhood witch.
Ah, nice.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm writing in again after having a couple of other stories read on air. Grandpa Money Ghost that kept getting taller, tuberculosis guardian angel, and little kid ghost who kept playing with my son's balloons.
Yes.
And I have yet another one to make you shit your pants. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yas, witch. I've sent this story in as a recorded message long ago, but I think it was too long to be played on air, and I really want y'all to read it because I want to hear Betsy freak TF out. LOL.
Yes.
So maybe this, hopefully they are right and we haven't played it already.
Right,
I'm really
right.
bad at keeping track.
Who
okay.
knows? Who knows?
This all happened when I was pregnant about 12 to 13 years ago. My now ex-husband and I met when I was 16 and fell in love. By the time I was 18 and fresh out of high school, we found out I was pregnant. This happened literally 2 days before we were set to move in together. This was all planned, the move, not the pregnancy, LOL. But it ended up being perfect timing. We moved in and our first night alone was great. No issues with the house, nice home, quiet neighborhood, blah, blah, blah. Cut to 3 to 4 months pregnant and some weird shit starts happening. Whoa. Now, like I've said in previous emails, I'm very sensitive to the paranormal and have seen ghosts my whole life. In every home I've ever lived in, it's probably genetic since my nana, mom, aunts, and sisters all are very witchy.
Oh,
yet very
yeah.
Catholic. Very Catholic at the same time. Go figure. Yep. And we've all shared tons of experiences. Anyway, so at first it's just a creepy feeling like I'm being watched or someone walking into my room when no one does. At this time, my husband was working the graveyard shift to support us and I'm home alone at nights often. The feeling started to escalate into noises, footsteps up the stairs, lights flickering, you know, the usual.
Yep.
The point where things start getting very creepy is when I would start to hear footsteps walking around my bed.
No.
The master bedroom was...
Oh, no. That makes me sad.
I'm going to die and throw up.
Oh, no.
The master bedroom was upstairs and the floorboards squeaked a lot. And it got to the point where I was used to which sounds came from which part of the room. Then the running started.
Ew.
There would be times I would be in bed or asleep or dozing off and would hear someone running around my bed.
No.
They would run from the opposite side of my bed to the foot of my bed, across the foot of my bed, and then up the side of my bed and back down. Up, down, across, up, down, across. Rinse, repeat.
I hate this.
Then they would suddenly stop.
Ugh.
I would hear these noises no matter where we put the bed in the room and even if I were downstairs.
Oh.
Even my little chihuahua dog would hear the noises because she would stop whatever she was doing and look up at the sound.
Oh.
She didn't like me being alone in the room and wouldn't stay in there alone either. She would follow me around the whole house all the time.
Oh.
She was like, I'm not my baby inside of you.
Yeah.
Then the doors started opening by themselves.
What?
Then the kitchen cabinets. Then the lights started going on and off on their own.
Oh, my God.
Not all at the same time. Ha ha. This went on for a few months and seemed to get more intense the more pregnant I got. Until the scariest thing that's ever happened to me took place. This is some scary movie shit right here. This is feeling familiar. So if we have listened to this, let me know, Betsy. You're okay, better at remembering things. Okay.
Let's see.
Okay. Guys, we never know. One day I was taking a shower in our little bathroom. This was the only bathroom in the house with a shower, but I hated using it because it was stuffy and didn't have a window. Kind of weird. So I'm taking a shower and washing my hair with my head back and my eyes closed when I hear the bathroom door close. Now, at this point, I'm 8 to 9 months pregnant, so I always kept the door closed over, but open and never locked because I was paranoid about falling and not being able to get up and no one being able to get it open. I was alone in the house anyway, so leaving the door open was no biggie for me. Anyway, the door softly closes and then the lights start flickering.
This does sound familiar, but
Okay. Very little at first and then a little more and a little faster. This goes on for 10 to 15 seconds and then it starts getting worse. The lights start full on strobe lighting, coming on and off, on and off, on and off, over and over again. This whole time I'm fully pregnant, freaking out and trying to get all the shampoo out of my hair and get the fuck out of the shower. Then the lights stop flickering and stay on for about 5 seconds. Then they go off and stay off.
Oh,
I will say this. If we've heard this before, it's written differently, right?
Yeah. Well, 'cause I'm also thinking like it might have been a similar thing might have happened to somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I'm not finished. So maybe we'll figure it out. So I wait about 5 to 10 seconds, although it feels like 5 to 10 hours, for them to come back on. And then I start trying to get out of the shower. And then the room starts to get cold. I was just taking a hot shower, but now the temperature has dropped dramatically and I'm actually starting, I actually start shivering.
Oh,
remember,
no.
This bathroom has no window, so I'm in pitch black darkness at this point.
Of course. Ooh, I got chills.
I heard a noise outside it's broad daylight.
Oh, no, I'm scared.
So I'm trying to get out of the shower without slipping, and I'm blindly feeling around the wall, trying to reach for the door and scared that I'm going to reach out and feel something or someone in front of me instead of the door.
Yeah.
When I finally reach the knob and turn it, it's locked. I didn't even have this door closed, let alone locked. When I got in the shower, and now it was both closed and locked. I stood there naked, cold, and struggling with the door for a few seconds before I got it unlocked, finally opened the door. As soon as the door swung open, the lights come back on and stayed on.
What?
This all could have taken place in less than a minute, but it felt like an eternity. I grabbed a towel, ran upstairs to get dressed. I came back down and stayed in my living room until my husband came home. When he did, I told him we had to move because whatever it was getting stronger, starting to feel hostile. Now, this being Southern California and us being young and broke, we ended up having to stay for a while longer. And I had to bring my baby home into that house. After we brought him home, I would still feel and hear things like his name being whispered in the night or on the baby monitor.
No.
But at the same time, I started feeling the presence of my Nana grandma.
Okay.
She always wore this very specific perfume, White Diamonds by Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, hell yes.
And I would smell her around the baby all the time. I would feel her brush my hair out of my face when I was falling asleep nursing him, something she always did while she was alive and helping us fall asleep as kids. And other more hostile entities started to fade. We didn't stay very long after the birth of my son. And the next house we moved into, the one we live in now, is also haunted.
Oh, come on.
LOL. We've been here for over 10 years, but everything here is much friendlier. I still hear and see things like a man walking down the hallway or the little kid ghost from an earlier email that calls me mommy and says, excuse me, when he wants it, when it wants attention.
Ooh, polite, polite.
Hello.
Polite, little kid ghost.
My son is now 12 and also sensitive and hears things and sees shadows as well. He has autism, so I think that makes him a little extra sensitive or open to the other side as he doesn't have the jaded outlook on life yet.
Wow.
I try to be very honest with him without scaring him too much, but it's definitely a fine line to walk. My Nana still looks out for him. Like when he was hospitalized in January, we got discharged and sent home just in time for quarantine to start, LOL.
Oh my gosh.
I would smell her in his room constantly or in the hallways, especially near the cafeteria. Aww. She loved the hospital cafeteria, so this always made me smile during those hard times. I'm glad to know she's still around and is looking out for my boy. She would have loved to see him grow up, especially because he's so sweet and funny, just like she was.
Aww.
Anyway, this is my very long story about the ghost that wanted my pregnancy. LOL. I hope this freaked you all the fuck out and maybe even had you shitting your pants. Ha ha. I'm sure there will be more stories to send as I remember and experience them. Thanks again for the spookies and laughs. You guys are the literal best. Jamie from Sit for a Spell podcast.
Wow.
I've either heard that story or one so similar to it, you know?
Right. The bathroom part was so similar. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Could have, you know, I do have another email about this spooky pregnancy story. So maybe I did play it.
Maybe. Read the email.
I might have done it again. But like I said, it was slightly different this time.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I got scared. I got very scared. Spooky. The running, come on.
No.
Don't do that shit, man.
It's too scary.
It's too scary, okay? Yeah. Don't run around a bed. Okay, don't run.
No.
If you have to run, go run away from people. Ghosts.
Look, I did figure this out. We did play it a couple of years ago. So, Jamie, I think you need to go back and listen to all of our podcasts.
Wow.
You tricked us, Jamie. You got us to play it and read it.
Nice, dude.
But it is a very freaky, freaky, freaky story.
The heightening of it, too. The heightening of the spooky. Of like, okay, like a little bit of like, dun, 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 but then doors opening, then cabinets opening, mm-hmm. and then running around, lights, and then oof.
Lights and maybe the oof
like
in the
that house was like the like school for how to ghost, how to be scary,
how to ghost,
how to be ghosts.
Oh, yeah, like training ground.
Training, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where they're like, okay, so all right, today we're working on cabinets, okay? We're working on cabinets.
Everyone stretch first.
Yeah, everyone stretch out because, like, even though you have passed on, you can still pull a hammy.
We gotta be careful with our ghost bodies because we really can't get anyone to fix them now. Gotta be gentle with your
ghost
body.
Gentle with your GB, everybody. Okay.
Wow, okay.
Spooky, man. That's spooky. Stay out of bathrooms. Stay out of bedrooms. Stay out of houses.
Are you talking about people? Should people?
Yeah, people. Everybody, listen to me. Let's all go live in the woods.
Yeah. Should we listen to one more while we're at
Let's
it?
Let's listen to one more.
Okay.
Hi, Betsy. Hi, Marcy. I love the podcast, and I'm going to dive right into my story. So I currently identify as a witch. I do perform witchcraft and spells and read tarot and things like that. I've done so for, I don't even know, like maybe 3 years, little over two for sure. And I have a handful of friends who are also witches. One of my friends one day called me and was like, hey, like she had just moved out to Portland to be with a guy who then ended up breaking up with her. And she called me one night and was like, hey, like he's gonna come over in like an hour. Is there any way that you can help me cast a spell beforehand to just give me like some protection and some courage and things like that, just mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all that stuff. So I was like, yeah, for sure. We got some supplies together individually and then called each other back and we're ready to perform the spell in tandem. I had written an incantation that we would both recite, but we were doing it kind of like in our own way. And she sent me a photo of her altar setup and I kind of like wanted to mirror it in my own supplies and in my own, practice. And one of the things she had on her altar was the tarot card, the moon. And so I was like, oh, let me get that card out too. And I'll put it on my altar. So I grabbed my deck and it's always very well shuffled because I shuffle before and after every reading. Anyway, I grabbed my deck and I'm looking through it, looking for the moon card. And I'm shuffling like, where the fuck is the card? And it's literally the last card in the pile, but had I just like flipped it over and pulled the card as you would a regular tarot card, it would have been the first one on the top. And I told her that because I was on the phone with her. I was like, oh my God, like I was just looking for this and it's the last card and or the first card. And she was like, oh, I knew it would be and I should have just told you. I should have just like gone with my gut because it took me like a hot second to find it. Anyway, so I thought that was interesting. And then we do the spell and it goes really well. We both feel really good about it. And part of my practice of doing spells is to use candles. I use a lot of candles. And what I did for this one in particular was get a small candle and carved her name, her full name into it, as well as protection on the other side of it, I believe. And, you know, basically just indicating the target of the spell as well as the effect of the spell. And I lit that candle and you have to let it burn all the way in order for it to be effective. I also like to see if it burns in like a weird way, like if the wax drips where it's not supposed to, or if the wick breaks, or one time I had it like tangle, like split into two and then tangle itself into each other, which was weird. Anyway, so lit the candle during the spell. Spell is done necessarily, I guess, and her man is coming over soon, so we get off the phone, and I have to watch this candle burn all the way out. So it takes about like a couple hours usually with those kinds of candles. So I'm just sitting in the room and like reading. I'm like facing perpendicular to the candle so I can like still see it out of the corner of my eye in case something catches on fire. But while I'm reading, I suddenly see it flicker like really gnarly. Like it got like really bright like all of a sudden, and then like went back to normal when I went to go like look at it. And I was like, whoa, that was weird. That's kind of like, I don't know, like, I don't know why that like got my attention like so much. And so it was like 8:15 at that moment. And she had mentioned that her ex was coming over at 8. And so I was like, oh man, like maybe she's already in like a sticky situation, or maybe she's like feeling some kind of way or whatever. So I just took a picture of the tarot card that we pulled earlier and sent it to her like in that moment, and was just like, hey, like, don't forget, you know, you are a goddess and you have the power, this and that, whatever. And that was it. She didn't reply until like the next day, I think. And I said, oh, like, you know, what time did he come over? And she was like, I'm not sure why. And then I was like, oh, you know, I just saw the candle flicker at this time. That's why I sent you that card. And she was like, oh my God, like he knocked and then I heard my phone ding when you sent me that text, and it happened like simultaneously. So anyway, thought that was interesting. Hope you enjoy. Thank you. Bye.
Whoa.
Whoa, dude.
That candle's psychic.
The candle tells all.
The candle.
Wow. Oh, wow.
That is really cool, though. Like the, you know, the connectedness of them in that way.
That is what, and like immediately starting with the one card being at the bottom or the beginning, and the other one being like, yeah, I should have told you that. I knew that was that's so wild.
Yeah. That's, I mean, boy, I feel like the way I'm a witch is I just would show up and yell at the man. But that's a different, I'm a bitch, I mean, not a witch.
That's a witch with a different letter.
That's very cool, though.
Yeah, that's neat, man.
That's very cool, yeah. Just
something's out there. Something's making stuff happen, man.
Also, like, if you were like, Marcy, will you burn a candle for me until it's out? I'd be like, oh, it's going to take
so much.
Don't
fall asleep.
It's going to take so much time. Have you ever done any like candle intentions like that? Or I haven't. They like will burn for days. You're like, how does I make this burn until it's out?
Right. I feel, candles are usually like, we last like 82 hours. I'm like, that's a lot.
That's a lot, man.
That's a lot. Do you think in the olden days they would do that just for entertainment?
Watch a candle?
Yeah.
Yeah. But what else were they doing?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Getting sick and dying. Nothing. Watch a candle.
Having cholera?
Yeah, duh.
What else were they doing?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Drinking water that hurt their tummies?
Yeah.
Nothing. Having
4/5 of their children die before the age of 10?
Yeah, nothing. Watch a candle.
Watch a candle burn.
But no, they need that for light, so they can't just waste the candle for entertainment.
Well, they do it at night when they need the light.
True. That's true.
Man, these are all very cool, even if some of them were ones I heard before.
Even if we've listened and read all of them before, they were so fun again.
You know, guys, we have hundreds of emails, so don't be pulling slick ones on me. I simply can't cross-reference.
Hey, man, it's tough, you know.
One of these days, we won't do this podcast. One of these days, but then I won't be in trouble for mixing things up all the time.
I'm gonna roast you so bad in the comments.
Yeah. I'm so sick of Marcy.
I'm gonna get you.
Being a bad producer.
thank you all so much for sending in your stories. Keep them coming. We love them.
We need them.
We need them. We love them. We can't get enough of them.
And thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much for listening to A Funny Feeling.
If you have a paranormal experience that you would like to share, please send us a voice memo, or you can email us just a letter at funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com. I'm Marcy.
I'm Betsy. And don't shit your pants!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.